And then I've got some work to do today. So we're going to let, that's not true. I feel the Lord has some work to do today. And I feel like he's lined out some things that he wants us to cover. So I'm going to try and move quickly and cover what I feel the Lord has for us to cover. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, I'm so thankful for worship today. I'm thankful that you choose to meet with us. I'm thankful that you've chosen to be enthroned upon the worship and the praises of your people. And so you're here in our midst. And Lord, as it says in Isaiah 55, that your word comes like the rain. And just like the rain, it doesn't go back up into the sky until it accomplishes what it was sent forth to do. Your word is the same. So Lord, I pray that your word would do work today in our hearts. Breathe on us. Fill me, Lord. Let me speak words of life. Let me speak as one speaking the very words of God. Serve with the strength that you provide so in all things you would be glorified, Lord, because you're worthy of it. Love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and open your Bibles up to Mark chapter 4. We are going to cover one of the famous parables Jesus shared about the parable of the sower. This is an agrarian society. So talking to them about sowing seed would make sense. But before I get there, I want to set a little context. I saw a study, this is a couple of years ago, that said that in evangelical churches, which would be considered for the purposes of this study an evangelical church, which is a church that's not one of the mainline denominations, Anglican, Episcopalian, only 5% of the people in the church have considered themselves to be regularly involved in evangelism and outreach. And 80% of the people say that they do not consistently talk to somebody outside the church about the Lord. So what you're hearing right now is, Kevin's going to talk about evangelism. And I am. And the only thing that garners as much condemnation for people, Julie talked about we don't have condemnation here, right? The only thing that people are like, oh, is prayer. Prayer and evangelism, because everyone's like, I don't pray enough, and I don't talk to people about Jesus enough. That's not the purpose of this message. And that's not the Lord's heart. He doesn't want you to be condemned. But my hope is, as Julie shared, that we're convicted about how we can be partner with the Lord for the purpose of advancing his kingdom. So that's what the goal right now for us. I'm going to go geopolitical for a moment. And the reason why is I'm going to use that as a linchpin for us to get into this passage. And I want to talk about Iran. There was a movie, documentary, by FAI Studios that was put out in August of 2019. It was called Sheep Among Wolves. There's Volume 1. Volume 2 is the one that was issued in 2019. It's a little bit under 2 hours long. If you have not seen it, get on YouTube, find it, and watch it. I cannot say that strongly enough. It is outstanding. And it's talking about the underground church in Iran. So this data is a couple years old. The three fastest growing communities of Christians in the world were in Iran, Afghanistan, and China. Three of the most oppressive nations in the world towards Christianity. Their churches were exploding there. And so this was a discussion about what's going on in Iran. And the story sets in. The documentary sets in talking about Iran's seeking to expand its influence. It's seeking to be more than just a local player right there in the Middle East, but it's wanting to be bigger and bigger. And they're talking about the trailer I watched to refresh myself of this, compared what's going on in Iran to Haman. So in the story of Esther, Haman is one of the enemies of the Jewish people, and he goes in and he issues a law with Assassuarius, which is just a title for a king of the Persian Empire. Hey, let's go kill the Jews on this day. And the story of Esther is about their deliverance and the Lord placing people in the appropriate places to bring about the deliverance of the Jewish people. And Purim is the festival that occurs as a result of that story. And they still celebrate it today in Israel. And Haman builds this huge gallows to hang this man that he considers to be his enemy, Mordecai. And the Lord moves, things happen, and the Jews are freed. Mordecai is elevated in the eyes of the king, and Haman is hung on his own gallows. And this story, that this trailer talks about how Iran is elevating itself as an enemy of God, an enemy of the Jewish people. And it starts off, there's a song that somebody wrote for it, and the devil's going to hang on his own gallows. And the enemy, the supernatural forces in Iran are literally hanging on their own gallows. So this is what Iran is doing in the last 2 years. Ali Khamenei is the leader of Iran. He has met with Xi Jinping, who's the prime minister of China. He has met with Vladimir Putin, the president of Russia. And he has met with Kim Jong-un, the chancellor, the prime minister of North Korea. And he has met with, I can't pronounce his first name, Erdogan, who's the leader of Turkey, right? That's it. Those are the people that he meets with, and he creates, they've created partnerships with these people. That doesn't sound like a group of people I want to hang out with. But this is the group of people that he's hanging out with. They are supporting actively, financially, Hamas in the West Bank and in Gaza. They were all, evidence seems to point that they were the financiers behind the attack on October 7th into Israel. They are supporting the Houthi, which is the terrorist group operating out of Yemen that is currently working to shut down the Suez Straits, the shipping canals that are going up through the Red Sea. They support Hezbollah, which is the terrorist organization operating out of Lebanon. Okay, they have their hands in a whole lot of stuff. I'm in cybersecurity, if you don't know that. They are very, very, very active in cybersecurity. They have a whole division of their government set aside for attacking cybersecurity targets and defacing websites and bringing down resources. This is what Iran is. They murder, they kill, they rape. Anyone who stands up against them, there's been multiple uprisings, and they come in and they put their foot down hard. The number of women that have been raped and murdered and killed in protest of just saying, I don't want to wear the hijab, is in the hundreds. And it's probably high, much higher than that. This is Iran. And in that place, God is advancing his kingdom. Right? I want you to get your head wrapped around this. We didn't need to go in there and have anything done in the world. God's like, yeah, enemy, you think you can keep me down? No, my kingdom is going to advance. There is a church that is moving in South Korea. There is a thriving church in China. There's a thriving underground church in Russia. There's thriving underground churches all over the Middle East. God is moving in places where there's persecution. So why do I bring this up? Well, I want to talk, when I talk about the sower, I want you to listen to the story that was shared in this documentary. Most of the leaders of the church in Iran are women. And they are bold. And they will boldly declare the gospel of Jesus. They'll pray for people. What happens if they get caught? Beaten, raped, killed. Rapes, beaten, killed, something in that order. Right? This is what happens to them. And they're like, we choose to do this because he is worth it. Jesus is worth it. So how do you bring about the advance of the gospel in that type of situation? What they do is they said, we look at Jesus. We look at what he did. And he didn't start with, hey, you need to repent. He started with parables and teachings. He started dropping little hints about this is how the kingdom of God works. This is how the world works. This is how it does work and how it doesn't work. It says we sprinkle these seeds. We seek to, their words, prepare the grounds for the Lord, so that when the time comes for me to boldly step across that line, that means that I'm putting my life at risk by sharing about the goodness of Jesus, the ground is prepared and the soil is as good as possible to receive the word of God and have them respond. It's not 100%. Those people still get caught and they still are boldly out there declaring the goodness of Jesus. It's an amazing story. So this is what I want us to have wrapped around in our heads today, is there are people out there who are putting their very lives at stake. Okay? So we look and we're like, all right, how can I share? What can I do? Well, it is my contention that Mark chapter 4 lays out a framework for this. So I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to unpack it a little bit. Again, Jesus began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teachings, he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Another seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up. But since there's no depth of soil, when the sun rose, it was scorched. Since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Another seed fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30 and 60 and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." Verse 10, and when he was alone, those around him with the 12, just a little side note here, this is more than just the 12 he's talking to, grammatically. So, asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to those outside, everything is in parables. So that," and then Jesus quotes Isaiah chapter 6, "they may indeed see but not perceive, they may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." So I'm going to pause there. I want to address something. I actually thought about skipping these little middle verses just because this is not a sermon talking about Isaiah 6 and what that means when he says that that they may see but not perceive, that they may hear and not understand, lest they turn and be forgiven, because this sounds contrary to the gospel. We want people to hear, we want them to see, and we want them to perceive, and we want them to hear and turn and be forgiven. Like, that's the goal, right? And so this is not the purpose of the sermon, but I don't like skipping passages that are difficult. I feel like we need to enter into the difficult passages, because my contention is that God is found in those difficult passages. We dig deep, and we find him. Okay? So I'm going to unpack this just a moment, and I'm going to pick back up with verse 13, because this sermon is not about this. Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah goes, and he has this vision of God, and he sees his own sin. He says, "Oh, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips." And the angel cleanses his lips, and then God says to him, "Who will go?" Now he's like, "Here I am, send me." And then God says, "All right, I'm going to send you." And he says, "You're going to go, and you're going to speak." He says, "Go and tell this to the people." And then he quotes this. And so the purpose of this was for Isaiah to go to the people of Israel and say, "You have ears, and you have eyes, and you're not using them. If you would use them, you would turn and you would repent, but you're not. So I'm going to speak, and I'm going to make clear, because you and your stubbornness of heart are refusing to see and to hear and to understand what's going on." And so what we have here is, in this translation, is a Hebrew translated to Greek, because this would have been what they had in the time, was the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, and then translated into English. So really, we would need to get a little bit deeper into this passage. But take from me, God's goal is that the people would hear the word of God, their hearts would be softened, their eyes would be open to see, their ears would be open to hear, and that they would repent and turn. And that the way this English translated is inelegant. Does that make sense? So there's a better way of saying this in the English, because we're dealing with translations of three things, Hebrew to Greek to English. God wasn't up there trying to keep a secret from the people. He literally told Isaiah to go out and tell them. And the goal was is that they would hear and that they would repent and say, "God, help me." So I'm not going to unpack all of that. I just want to be clear about what that means. Verse 13, he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the words. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones where it's sown on rocky ground. the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while, and then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And the others are the ones sown among thorns. And they are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of the other things come in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But these are those who are sown on good soil. They are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. So he lays out four different, Mike and I actually talked about this a while back. I don't like the term, your Bible probably has a header that says the parable of the sower. I don't like that title. By the way, those titles are not inspired. That's not from the word of God. That's the translator trying to create some natural breaks in scripture. It's not wrong to just scratch those out. Sometimes those breaks are in really weird places. So you just don't have to worry about them. So are the parable of the soils. That's what this is really about. It's the parable of the condition of the soils. We've got the soil that says, along, your translation may say on the path or along the path, and so we think maybe it's throwing it on the path. It actually means to throw beside. So that soil that's like right on the edge of a path where everybody would walk. But because there's no cultivating there, that soil is not really available to hear and discern. And so the enemy comes and takes that word away. And then we have the soil that's rocky. And so I have a rocky spot. So when they built my yard, they brought in sand and dirt and rocks, and they dumped it to kind of even it out so that it flowed away from the foundation. It's very normal. And there's this spot where there's a lot of rocks. And I go to dig, and it's just, you know, and there's just all this river rock down there. And it's just rocky soil. And guess what? Grass grows because the roots stay at the top of the surface. But if I planted something there, I would literally have to dig in and remove all of that rock because the roots don't get down into the nutrients of the soil. They don't go deep. And then we have the third soil, which is the soil that is contaminated with thorns and bristles. And the idea is that you have what you want growing, and something else grows up that's more aggressive, and it wraps around it and chokes it off, either by hoarding the sun, hoarding the water, or hoarding the nutrients. So I was born in South Carolina, and I remember very young asking my dad about why there were cantaloupe plants all over the sides of the hills there along the streets. So it was not cantaloupe, it was kudzu, which is a vine, and it grows, and the leaves are very similar to cantaloupe leaves. And my dad said, oh yeah, those are human beings being geniuses and introducing invasive species into culture that kill off everything. So my dad has a PhD in physics and is a bit sarcastic. So this is the way we operated. And I would watch it as I got older, and especially when I would go back and visit family back there, I would look and I would see there would be these big, beautiful trees, and the kudzu would literally have grown up the tree, and the leaves were spreading out over it, and it killed off the trees. I mean, like talking trunks like this. Killed them off because it spread over all over the branches, and the leaves were big, and they would cover up the leaves of the tree, and the tree wouldn't be able to photosynthesize, and it would die. And so this is the soil that's happening. If you have, like, if you have Johnson grass in your yard, or St. Augustine grass in your yard, St. Augustine, for a lot of weeds, will kill it off if you keep it watered, because it's vine, it just grows over everything and just strangles stuff. Not all weeds, but most weeds, it'll kill off if you keep it watered and fertilized. And then the last soil is good soil. So I want to talk about two purposes here with this parable today. One is, how do we engage the lost? How do we engage those who don't know the Lord? And we have an example laid out by the Church of Iran, where they go in and they start talking about principles. They start talking about, like Jesus did, they start using parables. And they're talking about, this is what the kingdom of God's like. This is who God is like. This is what he is. But it's all done very, they're not saying, I'm not going to teach you all this stuff after you get saved. It's like, I'm going to teach you the principles now. And the purpose is, their contention, the church in Iran's contention is that those principles, those parables, actually work to prepare the soil to receive the word of God. But the second group is us, because we sometimes are not preparing ourselves to hear the word of God. And so I'm really good at hearing word of God regarding certain things, but there may be other things that God's like, hey, I've got this for you. And that particular soil for that area might be rocky, or it might have thorns in it. And so then how can we prepare our own soil to hear the word of God? As we read the word, as we listen to the word of God, as we come here on Sunday, or we go on Wednesday to Alpha, or you come to our home group, and you hear the word of God, how do we prepare our hearts so that our eyes are open to see, and our ears are open to hear, and we are open to repent and turn and be forgiven and follow him? So the examples are pretty clear. In the rocky soil, it says that the sun scorches them. That's the persecution. That's like the heat gets cranked up, right? Well, you know, I just shared the story about a place where the heat's cranked up as high as it's going to get in Iran. The heat's going to get cranked up so hot, so high. Their roots are deep. Their roots are deep. They go deep into the Lord. So how do we go deep into the Lord? My contention is this. We develop a lifestyle of worship, and we develop a lifestyle of seeking to fulfill the great commandment. So I want to lay out some practical stuff as we do this. Jesus said, he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus' reply back to them was, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And this is summed up all of the law and all of the prophets. If you love God, which is that, he's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you love God and you love others, this fulfills all of the law and all the prophets. It is my prayer. I pray for this church. My wife can contend to this every night. I pray for a lot of you by name every night. I don't know everybody's name, but I pray for people. I pray for this body every single night. And my prayer is that we would be a body of believers who seek to fulfill the great commandment. I especially pray for your kids. I especially pray for your kids. Because if you don't know me, I'm the elder. I oversee our youth, which Justin and JC lead. We love them. We're thankful for them. Our children, Stephanie leads that. And Cindy, our nursery. Those are the people kind of I help oversee. I love your kids. And I want to see God revealed in their lives. And I want to see them walking what his purpose is. And my goal, my heart, my prayer, my contention is that we will be a people who are pressing in to love the Lord our God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so when you love him, your roots go deep because you're lovesick. Man, I love you. And worship gets in there, you get in worship, you get in the presence of God, and God just puts his finger on something, and because you're worshiping, you're almost tricked into it. It's like, Lord, take everything. And then you get to like the nuts and bolts of it, and you're like, I wasn't sure if I really wanted you to take that. And God's like, well, you told me I could have it. So when you think about a lot of the songs we sing, we're actually asking the Lord to step in and break up fallow ground, and to uproot these rocks and to rip them out of the soil of our hearts, so that when he steps in and he says, hey, I want you to step out and to do that, you're ready. That word has a good place. That seed has a good place to plant. And that shoots up and it bears fruit. So good. It's so good. And then the other beautiful thing about soil that's lovesick is those roots go deep. And they tap into the river of life, which is Jesus. So then we can survive the droughts. We can survive the persecution. You can throw anything you want to me. I don't care. I'm going after Jesus. That's the heart. The second soil is the thorns. And it says, it describes the thorns as the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. So this is a little bit harder for us to talk through. So if you're in Iran and you're a Christian in Iran, there is no deceitfulness of riches there. Those are the poorest people in the country, the Christians. So They may be like, I would love to have some riches, but I'm never going to get that if I'm a Christian, because the culture and the environment is set up against them. But here in the States, we can have plenty of that. So I want to be 100% clear. Philippians 4, the famous verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That verse was not written to athletes. Okay? I'm going to tell you right now, that is not what that verse was written to. I'm not saying that God can't use you in your athletic endeavors to bring honor and glory to him. He can. That's not what that verse is written for. It was written for, as Paul is saying, when I am walking in prosperity, when I have much, and when I have little, I can still honor the Lord because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So we can honor him whether we have much or whether we have little. Paul was not saying, oh, well, you can only do much for him when you have much, when you have little. There are, the Bible lays out clearly, there are righteous poor people. There are unrighteous poor people. Proverbs talks about them, fools who waste their money. There are righteous wealthy people and there are unrighteous wealthy people. Joseph Arimathea, his tomb says he was a rich man, and it says that Jesus is buried in a rich man's tomb. He was, by our biblical account, he was a righteous rich man, right? But then we have the parable of the righteous rich man who had Lazarus at his, I think that's right, his name was Lazarus, poor man at his front gate who went down and he wanted the drip of water from, he's like, no, we can't cross over there. You've chosen your life. So I want to be clear, I'm not speaking some poverty gospel. What I'm saying is that we need to position our hearts so that we don't take the things of this world as preeminent, as first and foremost. It's called idolatry. If there is something in your life that you're like, all right, I want to follow Jesus, but I've really got this other thing, I'm going to contend you may have idolatry in your heart. And you know what? Today, it's a good day for you to repent. I pray that your eyes are opened and your ears are opened and you hear and you're like, God, forgive me for elevating this above you. A lot of guys like me, our culture has elevated work. And it's a good thing. God's designed us to work. But a lot of us, man, advancement at work has become a god. And maybe we instead need to repent of seeking that advancement as first and foremost. And we approach work as working as unto the Lord to honor him and to let him bring us honor. Or maybe the cares of the world are coming in. And we see this with social media. Always trying to get bugs in our ears about this, that, or the other. Well, you need to care about this. 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 I'm telling you, there's so much noise in our lives right now. And that noise is a voice that's perpetually speaking to us, and the purpose of it is to get our eyes off of Jesus. Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us set aside everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and run with perseverance the race set out before us, setting our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Author and perfecter. He started your faith. He's going to finish it. You didn't start it. You're not going to finish it. He's going to work it through, and we partner with him, running with him. This is what we're called to. And so, when we get our eyes off of him, we get it on the world around us, and what happens? Kudzu. That ivy steps in and starts growing up over the good fruit-bearing tree, over the wheat that's growing, and it spreads out, and suddenly that can't get any light. And it dies. And we know from the Upper Room Discourse, which is John 14 through 17, go read that if you haven't read it in a while. It's outstanding, one of my favorite passages in Scripture. It says, God's called us to bear much fruit. We only bear fruit by abiding in him. So let's connect in with him. And so I have a story. There's a coworker of mine who, when you work with me, I'm going to get into your life. I'm just one of those people. I'm an outgoing person. You guys all know that here. I get in everybody's life here. But we kind of expect it at church. But I do it at work. I'm just like, hey, what's going on? How you doing? But, you know, so I found out this guy, he's a CrossFitter, which was abundantly obvious by looking at him. And, you know, he was like, I found out he was a musician. I found out he was on a worship team. But I found out he went through some trials and kind of left the church for a while and just got lazy towards following the Lord. And I would just start dropping little, you know, like statements about, well, you know, physical fitness has value in some things. And I might leave it right there, but godliness has value in all things is the rest of that verse. And I would start to say, you know, well, I'm really struggling with this. I was like, man, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm going to pray for you. Oh, wow, thanks. Everybody at church, everybody at my work, there's 35 of us in IT. They all know I'm a Christian because I bring it up. I bring up little things like that. I'm in management in my work, so I can't be in a position where I would seem to be elevate one or the other. So I have a line that I have to follow, right? I'm very, very careful, right? Because I need to be honoring towards my work environment, but I also want to be honoring towards the Lord. Sure enough, he came to me one time and said, man, I'm really struggling. It's like, all right, well, what's struggling with? What's going on? He's like, this is going on, that's going on. It's like, I think I need to get back to the Lord. I was like, let's lay this out. There's a church that he was already connected with in town and fellow CrossFitter went to. And Friday, we went on a walk. I take walks. It's one of my tools I use to try and get people. Maybe we get just a couple of us together and go walk for like 5 minutes in the afternoon to clear our heads. And went for a walk, and it was just the two of us. He's like, man, God's been speaking to me about this, and God's been doing this, and God's been doing that. And I didn't sit down across from him and have a 30-minute conversation. This occurred over a couple of years, but it was just little bits. You know what it was? I thought about this. It was weed and feed. It was weed and feed, right? How many of us have yards? I love weed and feed. I'm not a big yard work guy. Just put it in my little, you know, distributor, and I push it, and the little seeds spread out, and it's specially designed to cause the grasses that we want to grow, predominantly St. Augustine and maybe Bermuda, to grow, and the stuff we don't want, like dollar grass and Johnson grass and some of this other stuff, to die. And so lo and behold, if you're in a third soil situation, you need some spiritual weed and feed. And maybe the Lord can give you an opportunity to speak some spiritual weed and feed to somebody at your work environment, or maybe it's a neighbor. And so here's the other thing. Maybe you're like, you don't have, there's a couple of guys at work I don't really have much of a relationship with. Anthony and I talked about this. Like, we saw some choices that we made, and it's like, I don't have the opportunity to speak into that. Nope, me either. It's like, but you know what I can do? I can pray. And I can contend for the God of heaven to step in and move. And God can step in and he can be like, yeah, I can kill that thorn. I can remove that rock. I can prepare that soil. So that's what we do, is it's a combination of being bold about who God is and what he's done in my life. And praying and asking God, God, please move in our midst. And I want to be clear, we don't have to reach a certain point. So I laid out all of the pressure and all of the heaviness going on in Iran right now and how the church is exploding. I went and looked at the most recent survey in 2023 of the churches where the church is growing the fastest around the world. Incidentally, China's still on that list. You know, the other one on that list was the UAE, United Arab Emirates, which where Dubai is, if you don't know that. It is, per capita, the wealthiest nation in the world. I believe that's still true. Filthy, wealthy nation, predominantly Muslim, but they don't have the oppression. Women walk around in like spaghetti strap dresses, their heads not covered, like a very liberal approach to Islam compared to what you see in Afghanistan and Iran. And that's one of the places where the church is absolutely growing. So my contention is not, don't fall into the trap thinking, well, we really need persecution to grow. God's like, I can grow right there. I can grow right there, right? I can make growth happen because his kingdom is established so that it can advance no matter where it is. So it is my prayer, it is my contention for us that we would be a people that faithfully sow, but we also enter into the work of preparing soil. So we prepare soil by being, telling, this is what God's done for me. This is what God's done for me. And when they see pressure coming in, everybody in my work knows I'm a Christian. They know what's going on. And they see how I respond. They see how I act. I'm preparing soil. We're throwing a little bit of spiritual weed and feed on that garden. And then we pray. And I pray and I ask. And another thing my wife knows is I pray for all my coworkers, for them to get saved. I don't pray for all 35 by name, but occasionally the Lord gives me a name or two. And I'm like, all right, God, just chase after that person. God, move after them. God, prepare them for your word. And sometimes God gives me the opportunity to speak into that. And sometimes, like with one of my core buddies, I just get a text message. Hey, buddy, I got baptized. I had no idea you were even looking. But 30 years of prayer worked, right? And I'm contending for the other 8. There's 10 of us in my outfit. They were in my class. I'm contending for the other 8. And some of them have their toes in. And I'm going to pull you in. The Holy Spirit's going to pull you in, but I'm going to keep tugging, right? So, I'm about wrapped up. I've laid it out. I'm gonna read Psalms 40. I want us to close our eyes. And I want you to just, in your mind, we're going to take a moment, and I want you to think about somebody you know that either isn't following the Lord, doesn't know the Lord at all, or there's that area of their life where you can see that they've not given it over to the Lord. Now, we'll pray right now that we would pray and ask for the Lord to step in and prepare that soil for his words. Just take a moment. It's Justin's playing. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would give us vision. Lord, I pray you would bring names, bring people to mind right now. Maybe it's children. Maybe it's parents, neighbors, coworkers. Somebody that you look at and you know, God, they really need you to step in. Get that person in your mind. Lord, I pray you would establish us. Lord, as we pray for them right now, Lord, I pray that you would remove the barriers to deep intimacy within their lives. And Lord, I pray that you would step in and you would sprinkle that spiritual weed and feed, Lord, over that ground. And Lord, I pray for us as a church. Lord, I pray you would highlight every area where we are not preparing our soils to hear your words. Lord, give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear. It says in Ephesians that you would give it, that Paul prays, you would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we would know what is the hope of our calling, what is the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints. Touches on what Julie shared earlier. We are glorious inheritance to Jesus. Help us to realize that. And what is the immeasurable power that is at work within us? God, you are able to finish what you started. You're the author, you're the perfecter. You're the starter, and you're the finisher. Lord, that power that's at work within us is the power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. Help us to see that. Give us open eyes, open ears. Prepare the soil, Lord God, for your words, that it would settle in within us. Lord, we just contend for them, Lord. Contend for ourselves. Contend for our body, for our nation, for our region. Psalms 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction and out of the miry bog. and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. And put a new song in my mouth, the song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is man who makes the Lord his trust and does not turn to the proud or to those who go after a lie. You have multiplied, O my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts towards us. None can compare to you, Lord. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. Lord, help us to be a bold people. Help us to be a praying people. Help us to be a loving people. Jesus, you said, the Upper Room Discourse that I mentioned earlier, says that they would know you by the way that you love one another. Lord, help us to love each other well. Help us to love you well. And Lord, by our love, Lord, we would demonstrate your kindness, which your word says in Romans leads us to repentance. It's your kindness that leads us to repentance, Lord God. Lord, that people would see it, and they would see all the good things you've done for us. They would see how you're there with us in the midst of the trials and the troubles and the difficulties and the good times and the bad. And they would see all of that, and they would say, where's your hope? And we would say, my hope comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Holy Spirit, breathe on us today. Lord, I pray, Father God, that your sweet spirit of conviction would rest upon us. You would show us anywhere we've established things as higher or above you. And God, that you would just remove those things from us. Lord, we don't want to have anything elevated above you. You alone are worthy. Holy Spirit, breathe on us today. Fill us today, Lord God. Move ahead of us, Lord, for those family members, for those friends, for those coworkers who don't know you. I ask today, Lord God, you would go out and you would begin the work of preparing the soil for the seed to fall. And Lord God, we don't care if it's us or somebody else, because it's not about our glory. It's about you. Lord God, I pray you would chase them down, Lord God. And Father, I pray for the prodigals in this house. Lord God, I pray for the children that have turned their backs on you. Lord, I pray for those that have chosen the things of the world, or those that are nudging against the line, or those that are towing the edge. Lord God, I pray you would chase them down. You would raise them up, Lord God, to be the lovers of you that they were called to be, Lord God. Lord, I pray you would move in power today, Lord Jesus. Father, chase them down. I pray, Lord God, in the Brazos Valley, there would be a wave of salvations. Lord God, I pray there'd be a wave of repentance, Lord Jesus, that would roll forth from this house out into this area, Lord God. Father, that you would cause your mighty glory to be seen here in Bryan College Station, Lord. And people would see it and glorify you, Father God, because our feet are on the rock. And Lord, a new song we put in our mouths, a song of praise to our God. Lord, and our coworkers and our family and our friends and our neighbors, they would see and they would glorify you, Lord God, because they know that you did the work, Lord Jesus. Lord, blow within us. Fill us, Lord God. Make much of you, Lord Jesus, within us. It's not about us. It's about you, Lord. All the glory belongs to you. All the honor belongs to you, Lord. I pray, Father God, today, Lord, you would issue songs of deliverance. Songs of deliverance over this body, Lord. The chains would break. The shackles would fall, Lord God. We've had testimonies of people saying, the Lord delivered me of anxiety. Lord, I pray you do more of that today, Lord Jesus, in this house. Lord, for people would say, I've been delivered of depression. They would say that in this house today. Lord, our children would say that. Lord God, that our friends, our neighbors would be like, God, the Lord's stirring. I don't know. I don't even have words. We'd be like, I know. Let me tell you about my hope. It's in Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith, and he wants to be the author and perfecter of yours. Lord God, let our words be glorifying to you, Lord, that it would be burning within us. Come, Holy Spirit, blow on us today. altar's open if you want to come and you want to contend and pray. If you've got children, if you've got family, you've got friends, that they come on up. We're going to play some more. We're just going to let it go and just contend and ask. And if you want somebody to agree with you, I'm going to be up here. We'll have some others up here to pray for you. Beloved, let's not settle. Let's not settle in the spirit, but let's contend for the soils to be prepared for the word of God. Because, man, I want my kids to be walking at 30, 60, and 100 full of fruitfulness. And I want this church to be walking at 30, 60, and 100 full of fruitfulness. That is my prayer for every one of you. That you wouldn't compromise for some half-cocked calling. That's not what the Lord has for you. But you would enter into all that he has for you. Jesus, you're good. We love you, Lord God.